You're listening to Little Love Stories, written and read by Danielle Hines. Short stories about love of all kinds, delivered weekly to your inbox.
Welcome back to Little Love Stories. I'm Danielle, and today we're back to sharing stories from the Robina Finch series. And this story starts off as where we left off, which is Robina leaving her house where she lives with her dad and heading to meet Vicky and Vicky's friends in a pub in downtown Niagara Falls. And it's interesting and kind of heartbreaking. So I wrote this in 2012, 10 years ago. And, you know, Robina as a main character is a very anxious person. And as I'm reading, like when I share these excerpts, I'm editing them again. So they're not exactly as I wrote them 10 years ago. But there are so many points in time where Robina is self-conscious about her weight and, you know, almost doesn't want to leave the house because she feels like she's fat. And my heart just breaks for the woman I was writing this 10 years ago. And even though I know that that's a common theme, it's common for women to feel this way, that is not something I at all want to perpetuate. And so I've taken all of that out, especially since Robina's anxiety as a character is so much deeper than that, as will become clear in future posts. So today's post is entitled The Pub. So without further ado, let's just get started. And here it is. The city bus in downtown Niagara Falls is quiet. Tourists take the casino buses. It's just me, some teenagers, and an elderly woman with her shopping basket on wheels. My nerves are in my throat. I swallow them, but it doesn't work. The tension slides down to my belly, and now I'm worried that I don't look right, that I should save this night out until next month and make myself practice how to be social. I pull the bell and get off on Stanley Avenue. I make myself take deep breaths to calm down and pray there's a chair for me. I pray it's near Vicky because I won't know anyone else. The pub is at the corner. I stop for a moment, allowing the buzz of all that's happening inside to draw me in. They're talking and drinking and have already made their bonds. I walk to the window and see Vicky immediately. She spots me, lights up, and waves. Here we go. You came, she screams as I remove my coat and take a chair she has saved for me right beside her. Everyone, this is Robina Finch. Robina, this is everyone. Before me, a sea of beautiful people. They smile widely and welcome, set after set of gleaming white teeth. They're all dressed in dark clothes in a way that speaks to their style and not their solemnity. Vicky tells me they all went to college together in Buffalo. I sit down next to Vicky as she introduces me to each person. Ellen is a sign language interpreter. Stephen is a teacher. Candy's in marketing. Ethan is a sports agent. The last person I see is Serge, and he's already watching me. And you met Serge, says Vicky, winking for some unknown reason at the rest of the table. He says nothing. He's the furthest away from me, and so I can barely read his expression. Who needs him anyway? I'm here to drink a ridiculous amount of beer and gorge myself on 4-cheese spinach dip and forget about heartache for 10 goddamn minutes. And then I remember he's just lost his sister and feel like an asshole. Ethan, the sports agent, interrupts my guilt. His hair is black, slicked back. His eyes are large and kind. So, Robina, you can call me Bean. An eyebrow raise. Okay, Bean. So what brings you to the falls? I sigh. I moved here to be with my dad. My mother passed away a few months back. It's been tough. Ethan appears unmoved, as if he knew this already. I see, he says simply. And how is that going? His interest appears to be genuine, so I indulge him. It's been all right. I miss my friends and my life back in Toronto, but my dad needs me, and really, I suppose I need him too. Mom being gone has left a huge void. Ethan nods. I sip my beer. It's not easy for me to share these things with a stranger. As nice as Ethan seems, we're not friends. It's always taken me some time to make friends. My best friend, Christy, says I have a wall around me. She also said that she never gave a shit about the wall, she just charged on through it. I clear my throat, feeling unprepared for tonight. I've been living inside my head for so long. Maybe the best thing is to dive in. I look up at Ethan to see him drawing swirls in the condensation of his pint glass. So, you're a sports agent? He beams. Yeah, I live in Buffalo. A lot of my clients play for the Bills. It's not always easy being in the industry, but I know for sure I don't want to be doing anything else. He pauses, looks briefly to the end of our long table, and asks in a low voice, Do you know Serge? I shake my head. He keeps staring at you. My cheeks flare up. Well, we met earlier today, but I wasn't very nice to him. Ethan laughs out loud, so much so that now the whole table has stopped their conversations and turns to look at Ethan and me. I venture a look at Serge. He shifts uncomfortably, raises his eyes to mine, and then quickly looks away. There's no trace of humor in him, and again, I feel, rather than see, his sadness. If I knew what his sister looked like, I could imagine her figure floating above his head, haunting his thoughts, ruling his memories. What's so funny? I ask Ethan through gritted teeth. I don't like being embarrassed, but now I feel Serge is being involved in this too. Vicky pipes up. Yeah, Ethan, tell us. What's so funny? Ethan immediately looks sorry. He apologizes for the interruption and neatly avoids an explanation. He's smooth without being smarmy. As everyone returns to their conversations, he reaches across the table and grabs my hand gently. I really am sorry, Bean. Your comment just caught me off guard. No one dares challenge Serge, ever. It was just really funny to hear that you did. Why wouldn't anyone challenge him? I look down at the table out of the corner of my eye. He's good-looking and standoffish. Is that why? Beautiful people don't often take crap, but it's more than that. He's someone who doesn't get crossed, I think. He's in charge somehow. Being here with these strangers makes me yearn for my friends in Toronto. Everything seems so much easier then. I woke up, went to work, went for drinks after work, went home to bed, and did it all over again the next day. I worked with my friends and partied with them, too. We drank draft beer at dive bars and ordered pizza at Christie's place. It was fun. It was simple. No parents were dying. I want a lifeline back to that time and place. I want to be pulled through all of this density. I'm not good with new people. Being myself takes far too much self-awareness and maturity. I feel like I just recently figured out that I'm not a kid anymore. And moving beyond that takes much more energy than I can muster at this point. It feels like it's tiring being me. Vicky gets up to go to the washroom and someone sits next to me in her place. It's him, Serge. Will you come out for a smoke with me? He asks in a voice so low it's nearly a whisper. I tell him yes and grab my coat from around my chair. Ethan shoots me a look that says, Be careful. I follow him through the throngs of people to a side door leading onto a tiny patio. There are black wrought iron tables and chairs stacked haphazardly in the corner with snow piled on top. The patio itself has been shoveled and there's a heat lamp glowing beside us. The redness of it lights up Serge's face. He offers me a cigarette, but I refuse. In Quebec, everyone smokes, he utters. I raise an eyebrow at him. Is that true? No, he says, taking a puff. That's what everyone thinks. It's true, we do. We also think you're rude and entitled, I counter. Entitled? Mon Dieu, mademoiselle. His mischievous grin is barely there. Damn, he is handsome and sexy. Can't forget that. He reeks of it. Sex appeal. This is a man who would throw me against a wall or take me in a taxi. Maybe some things get lost in translation, I say. He likes this. Maybe they do. For instance, if I were to describe you in French, I would say, C'est canon, that could get lost if someone didn't have any more than 10th grade French. I feel that personal blow, but I took French all the way to 12th grade, merci, and I tell him so. Doc, but you have not told me what it means. What did I say? I go red. You're trying to trap me. Who, me? He proclaims, grinning widely. You said I'm hot. He narrows his eyes at me. No, no, mademoiselle. I think you must have heard me wrong. I clearly said you were a cannon. I roll my eyes. Listen, I admit my French is rusty, but it's not that bad. Hmm, he says and looks me up and down. I shiver, thinking he can see beneath my clothing. We stand in silence for a few moments. He lifts his head to the moon and smokes slowly, reveling in each inhale and exhale. He smokes unlike anyone I've ever seen. Most smokers I know are quick about it, as if the shame is so thick they have to get through the experience as fast as possible. Not Serge. He draws it out with confident pleasure, and I envy that. I trace small infinity circles in the light dusting of snow on the ground with my boot. It's unconscious. He catches me and asks me what they are. Really? You've never seen the infinity symbol before? Of course I have, he replies. I thought it might be the number 8. My sister used to draw the number 13 incessantly. I wondered if you might have the same habit. It's not easy, is it? I remark, referring to recalling pastimes of the dead. He shakes his head in response and takes one last drag of his cigarette before tossing it on the ground and stomping it out. The pain in his face is clear, and as I observe it, I have to swallow a sob. He keeps his gaze to the ground as he asks, "Shall we get back to the others?" "Sure," I say, and follow him inside.
This has been Little Love Stories by Danielle Hines, author of the Sweetwood series, out in spring 2023. To find out more about Danielle, visit her website, writingmiracles.me.